In our brain, there are millions of cannabinoid receptors. So what does this mean? Lots of speculation went on. So naturally, people who are on the dope, they said, this means everybody must smoke, or this means anthropologically all of us, all human beings at some time were smokers. Then they came up with this, that these cannabinoid receptors are there because the body is supposed to produce this. The brain carries millions of receptors and the body is supposed to produce the endocannabinoids. So this production, it can be either on or off, depending upon how you have kept yourself. That within yourself, you can generate a chemistry which keeps you always blissful. But the most important aspect of it is, when it comes from outside, maybe it makes you blissful for a brief amount of time, but it makes you unaware. When it comes from within, it keeps you blissful and makes you super aware, which is the important thing. So this is not about trying to become some kind of a superhuman being. This is about realizing being human itself is super. And once you are blissful by your own nature, you always see that your life is super. It doesn't matter, some situations in our life go well, some don't go well, some happen our way, some don't happen our way, but this one life should be always happening our way. See, the nature of human mind is such, let's look at it this way. It's a building of million rooms. Most people who live normal life may explore 5-10 of those rooms, that's all. The million rooms are just there, unused. So once in a way, if you forcefully enter those rooms by using a chemical or something else, sometimes it can happen because of injury, sometimes it can happen because of shock, that people enter other spaces of their minds, which they can't believe it is their mind because it looks like a whole new world. It is just like, let's say, if you did not have eyes to see, if you open your eyes, suddenly it's a whole new world. So just like that, if you open your eyes to certain things, it looks like a whole new world. No, it's the same good old world, but it has so many dimensions, and human mind, in its evolutionary process, have gathered so many rooms to it that most of the rooms are not explored. So what is the purpose of this? The purpose of this is this. If our focus is only on our survival process, if we are constantly activating our survival instinct, then the number of rooms that you explore in your mind will become very limited. If our focus and our attitude is not about survival, because survival essentially means we want to build a wall of protection around ourselves. Well, you see, all the creatures are always trying to create boundaries. That comes from our evolutionary memory that we want to survive. And surviving is a very important process. If we don't survive, then what next? There's nothing else. So we must survive. But is it necessary that your survival instinct is always on? If you are a wild creature, yes, it must be always on. But we evolved to this point where our cerebral cortex opened up, blossomed into this possibility, where once you become a human being, your survival doesn't fulfill you anymore. In the sense, for example, for all the other creatures, if their stomach becomes full, their life is settled. But for a human being, if stomach is empty, there's only one problem. If stomach becomes full, there are 100 problems. This is the nature of a human being. Because for a human being, life does not end with fulfillment of survival requirements. In fact, life begins only after survival is taken care of. This is the nature of a human being. And no matter where you are, in what position you are in your life, you want to be something more than who you are right now. If that something more happens tomorrow morning, once again you want to be something more. So something more, something more, something more goes on. If I make you the CEO of one galaxy, you will say, I want to, what about the other galaxies? So this is how human nature is. It wants to expand in a limitless way. When we say expand in a limitless way, we want to expand into our infinite nature. So can anybody count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get to infinite nature? No, that's never going to happen. So the important thing is to be able to distinguish between our survival instinct and longing to expand. Our longing to expand infinitely is finding a constipated expression, which we call as ambition or, you know, desires and things like that. Essentially, it is a very small expression of this longing to expand. This longing to expand, if you make it a conscious process within you, then you will see your survival instinct will come down to its minimum levels. When that happens, your mind opens up to various possibilities. In many ways, this is what these chemicals are doing. It puts down your survival instinct to such a level. There have been cases people have left off mountain peaks, tall buildings and things like that because their survival instinct is gone. They cannot even understand that if I fall off this, you know, this is going to end my life. So because survival instinct has come down forcefully, not consciously. So consciously producing these experiences from within and forcefully doing it from outside, these are two different things. Here and there, somebody might have felt that because something opened up, they benefited from that. But you look at the larger consequence of such experiences, most of the time it's left people either frustrated or disturbed or imbalanced. Very, very few people can really claim they have benefited from that. See, what you call is logic, which is very important. It is like the foundation. If you don't build a solid foundation, then you can't build anything else on top of it. But you need a solid foundation. This is what is wrong with a whole lot of people who think they are into mysticism or occult or spirituality, that they don't have a solid logical foundation, they become hallucinatory. And if you believe hallucination is an exploration, no, it is not. Hallucination is your attempt to cross the line of sanity, and you may succeed. That is the whole problem. So, logic is the foundation, but we cannot live in the foundations. Well, of course, in United States, if you live in the foundation, it's called basement. But in the rest of the world, it's called a dungeon. So you can't live in the foundations. You have to build a superstructure. So there is logic. But on the surface of life, if you look at it, everything is logical. Everything falls into logical patterns. But if you look at life a little more profoundly, then you find nothing subscribes to logic. Everything, you know, has a magical element to it. I'm using logic magic as a thing. Let's say anything that's not logical is magical. If something happens here which you cannot logically figure, generally you would think it's magical. So there are millions of spaces in your mind which are magical in nature. There was a time where in the civilization that we refer to as Hindustan or Bharat, or today being the political country is being called as India. In this culture, 70% of the people were invested in inward well-being. Because of that, they became super enhanced. Because of that enhancement, they became so wealthy in everything. Rich in mathematics, rich in astronomy, rich in business, rich in trade, rich in industry. It was the richest nation on the planet just 300 years ago. See, everybody from here, whether it's English or French or Portuguese, everybody went to India. You think in search of poverty? In search of wealth. It became like that effortlessly without conquering anybody, without having large armies, because people invested in enhancing themselves. I'm telling you, if you try to enhance your activity without enhancing yourself, you'll only die of stress. This is what is happening to, unfortunately, whole lot of CEOs. I'm concerned about this because a CEO means you gave something that is important that needs to happen in the world into his hands, his or her hands. And if they are stressed out, what misery will they create for the rest of the world? It's very important. Anything that's not survival will not come naturally. You have to strive. This society has to create that longing. Being peaceful and joyful is more important for a human being's experience of life than me being better than you. That orientation the society has to create, isn't it? It's not even individualistic. It's always about me being better than you. It started from the kindergarten school. There itself they told you, I am first rank, you are third rank. From there it started, I am better than you. So the whole life is about being better than somebody means. Essentially what it means is, I enjoy your failures. Does it sound like joy to you or sickness to you? It is a sickness. We're building into our children right from day one. Essentially, you're finding an excuse or the way you are, which you yourself don't like. See, if something unpleasant happened to you, you have two choices. Either you can become wise or you can become wounded. Choose. More unpleasant things happen to you than anybody else. You must be the wisest man soonest. No, you choose to be wounded because you carry this wound like a badge and so that you can cause the same wound to others. What's the point? When you know the pain of it, how do you do the same thing to me? The thing is just this. Instead of intelligently, consciously responding to life, you are reacting like any other creature. That's all. The WHO or the World Health Organization made a prediction that there is going to be a mental health pandemic. At least 5 years ago, none of us knew what is a pandemic. Today, we all know what is a pandemic. And they've gone further and they said the next stage is there will be a suicide pandemic. Just to put it in perspective. In 2020, when the pandemic was in full swing all over the world, in Japan, more people died of suicide than of the pandemic. So we don't really need the virus, that's all I'm saying. Because the virus has gotten into our head. Because once survival is taken care of, if you do not become conscious, the way you sit, stand, breathe, think, emote, and function within yourself, if it does not become conscious, you will naturally head downhill. This is just September 23rd. I completed 40 years of this work. So 40 years ago, I was a young man. One afternoon, when I had nothing much to do, somehow an hour and a half gap was there for me. In the work, I was working like morning, 5:30 in the morning to 11 in the night, building various kinds of businesses around me. So when I got a break, there's a small hill. This hill is a place where we go, and I just walked up and sat on a rock. My eyes were still open. I thought it's just 10, 15 or 20 minutes. Suddenly, I started feeling every cell in my body literally dripping ecstasy. I thought this lasted 15, 20 minutes. But when I came back to my normal senses, 4.5 hours had passed. For the first time in my adult life, tears, me and tears were simply impossible. Tears to a point, my shirt is all wet. Then I shake my skeptical mind and ask, what the hell is happening to me? All I knew was, I had hit a gold mine and there was no context. Nobody around me could tell me what was happening with me. Nor did I know what was happening with me. This is something that most people will experience in their lives on a certain day when they are very happy. 24 hours feels like 10 minutes. Another day when you're depressed, 10 minutes will feel like 24 hours. Time is a very relative experience. When you're so blissed out, what is 2 minutes is 8 hours, 10 hours. Just gone like that. So in about 6 to 8 weeks, I came to some kind of stabilization within myself and started experimenting as to what is happening to me. Then I realized, if I keep a little distance from my physiological and psychological activity that's going on, if I just remove myself a little bit, then within a few seconds or within a couple of minutes, every cell in my body is bursting with ecstasy. Now, this is not just my experience. Today, we have it measured out in Harvard Medical School, how there is endocannabinoids are bursting out in people simply because they do a simple practice. So I made a plan: in 2.5 years' time, I will make the whole world blissed out. I knew the methodology. If you just keep a distance, it'll happen. But people are committed to their miseries, either because of their beliefs or their ideologies or their compulsive behavior within themselves. This simple 21-minute practice I'm talking about, people who did this for over 6 to 8 weeks, the endocannabinoids in their system is 70% higher than what is considered to be normal. What is normal for a happy person? It's 70% higher than that. You know what's cannabis? Every human being has cannabis receptors. This doesn't mean that this body was created to smoke cannabis. You're supposed to produce it. When you don't produce it, you try to substitute from outside. That's a different matter. Let me not go into that aspect. But 70% higher, what this means is, it is about 23% higher than what happens in sexual orgasm or extreme exercise. Simply sitting here. So if you felt like that every moment of your life, do I have to tell you, don't rob, don't kill, don't do this? That's all you need to. We've not fixed that one thing. See, when you were a child, when you were 5 years of age, you were just bubbling with joy by your own nature, isn't it? Somebody had to work hard to make you unhappy at that time.
But now somebody has to work hard to make you happy. What happened to the equation? If you had really grown up, 5 years if you are that happy, by the time you are 31, you should have been ecstatic. If you are miserable, frustrated, depressed, even without a command you may press if it was in your hand, sometimes it may happen. But if you are joyful, blissful, naturally you look at… See, this is something people don't understand. People think love brings them happiness. It's not true. If you're very joyful, you will look upon everything in a loving manner. Because what you call as joy, love, let me put it this way. If your body becomes pleasant, we call this health. You want it? If it becomes very pleasant, we call it pleasure. You want it? If your mind becomes pleasant, we call this peace. Only to create pleasantness in your surroundings, do you need the cooperation of various people and many forces around you. But to create pleasantness in your body, mind, emotion and energy is 100% your business. If you were the only person on this planet, would you know whether you are good or bad? So it is only by comparison that you know that you are good. But if you are the only person on this planet, if you are joyful, would you know you are joyful? That's important. I'm not saying focus on joy. I'm just saying you understand this. Your interiority can happen 100% your way if you are willing. External things will not happen 100% our way. We have to strive. Some things happen our way. Many things don't happen our way. But internally, if you're happening your way, you will keep yourself very pleasant. When you're pleasant, we can expect pleasant things from you. When you're unpleasant, I expect pleasant things from you. Where is it going to happen? People, in the name of religion, in the name of love, in the name of caring, they've done terrible things, isn't it? Most horrendous things have been done. The thing is, you're making up a purpose to bring some meaning to your life. What you need to understand is, life is a phenomena beyond all meanings. Meanings is an ailment of your mind. Only human mind needs meanings. Sun comes up in the morning, doesn't need a meaning. Full moon out there, doesn't need a meaning. Only place where you need a meaning is your head. Your mind needs a meaning. Why? Have you seen this? You've been at some point, at least for moments, you've been very joyful, blissed out. At that time, do you ask what is the meaning of life? No, only when you're miserable, it's important. So you create one problem and then you create another problem and another problem and you think it's a solution? No. Meaning is a serious problem. Meaning has become meaningful for somebody only because they're in some way distressed. The process of life and the experience of life has become burdensome. Why am I carrying this? I want a meaning for the burden that I'm bearing. If life was a blissful process, why would you care what is the meaning? See, this meaning problem is a very Western problem. In the Eastern world, we don't ask for meaning. We are always looking for profoundness of life. The difference is, digging deeper into yourself and creating something around your head are two different things. Outside or inside doesn't matter, but you're trying to build a psychological solution to an existential reality. The existential reality is, you don't know where the hell you came from and you don't know where you're going. You're just here for a brief amount of time and you think you're the center of the world. That means you must be very religious because it's the religious people who went on propagating that this planet is the center of the universe. Though in India, for over 6,000 years, people have known planet is round and it goes around the sun. Clearly, there are drawings and there are books, there are documents which clearly say that. But people who are following dogmatic religious processes, they propagated that this is the center of the universe. Now, will they say we said what is wrong and apologize for that? No, because when I think I am the center of the universe, I will be doing so many idiotic things. You must apologize if you are the one who taught me that nonsense. There was a bishop in Istanbul. At that time it was Constantinople. You know, I'm not trying to insult any community, but this actually happened, so I'm quoting the thing. In 1924, this bishop was part of the Greek Orthodox Church. Very Orthodox church, and he's a bishop, so all his life he's a man of cloth. He was there. But being in Istanbul, you know, all these exotic stories come wafting across the Bosphorus from India about the mystics, about the yogis, about many, many things. India is full of stories like this. And for ages, these things have been coming and excited people to travel to the East, all this stuff. So he always wanted to go to India and meet a real yogi or a mystic. But being a man of cloth, he couldn't decide where he goes and doesn't go. When he was over 60 years of age, he got an opportunity to go to India. He went to southern India and found a good guide who could guide him. And the guide took him and said, "See, on this particular mountain, if you go this way, this way, this way," he gave all the landmarks. "If you go there, there's a cave. There is a yogi. That is a man you're looking for." So our bishop went all the way up. Mountains are not kind to people who lived in churches or in indoors, you know. They don't care who you are. They trouble you. So with great difficulty, he went up. When he went to that place, just outside the cave, a yogi was sitting totally blissed out with his eyes closed. So the bishop had heard that if you see a yogi, you must prostrate before him. So he went down and he was not fit for those kind of postures. But with great difficulty, he went down, huffing, puffing. He stood up again. Hearing all the commotion, the yogi opened his eyes and smiled. Then the bishop asked, "Can I ask you a question?" This is the first introduction. The yogi laughed and said, "Well, by all means, you can ask a question." Then the bishop asked, "What is life?" See, as a human being, you have the intelligence to ask this question when you are 8 years of age. Well, in your childishness, you missed it. At least when you are 16, you should have asked. Definitely, you have the intelligence to ask that question. But now you're well over 60. Now you're asking, "What is life?" But it's okay. It's better late than never, you know. So when he said that, yogi went into raptures. Life. Life is like the fragrance of jasmine upon the gentle spring breeze. The bishop said, "What? Fragrance of jasmine upon gentle spring breeze? My teacher told me, life is like a thorn. Once it gets into you, if you sit, it hurts. If you stand, it hurts. If you lie down, it hurts. And you are saying it is like the fragrance of jasmine upon gentle spring breeze." Then the yogi laughed and said, "Well, that's his life. You must understand, your experience of life is determined by you. It's your choice."